the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, June 30th. The Collect and Psalms will be read from the Episcopal Church Book of Common Prayer. The Old Testament, Epistle, and Gospel will be read from the New American Standard Bible or the New Revised Standard Version Bible. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Track 1, Old Testament, is from 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 and 17 through 27. Now it came about after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, that David stayed 2 days in Ziklag. Then David sang this song of mourning over Saul and his son Jonathan, and he told them to teach the sons of Judah the mourning song of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jashar. Your beauty, Israel, is slaughtered on your high places. How the mighty have fallen! Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will celebrate. Mountains of Gilboa, may there be no dew nor rain on you, or fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil. From the blood of those slaughtered, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, and the sword of Saul did not return unstained. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and delightful in life, and in their deaths they were not separated. They were swifter than eagles, they were mightier than lions. Daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with jewelry, who put gold jewelry on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan is slaughtered on your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been a close friend to me. Your love for me was more wonderful than the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war have perished. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Track 1, Psalm, is Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to note what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? For there is forgiveness with you, therefore you shall be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits for him. In his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him there is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their sins. Track 2, Old Testament, is from Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, and chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, read from the New Revised Standard Version Bible. Because God did not make death, and he does not delight in the destruction of the living, for he created all things so that they might exist. The generative forces of the world are wholesome, and there is no destructive poison in them. And the dominion of Hades is not on earth, for righteousness is immortal. For God created us for incorruption, and made us in the image of his own eternity. But through an adversary's envy, death entered the world. and those who belong to his company experience it. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Tract 2 Psalm is from Lamentations chapter 3 verses 22 to 33, or Psalm 30. Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter, and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever, although he causes grief. He will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up, and have not let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave. Sing to the Lord, you servants of his. Give thanks for the remembrance of his holiness. For his wrath endures but the twinkling of an eye, his favor for a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but joy comes in the morning. While I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed. You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear. I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with the Lord, saying, what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 15. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, speaking, knowledge, and in all earnestness, and in the love we inspired in you, see that you also excel in this gracious work. I'm not saying this as a command, but as proving, through the earnestness of others, the sincerity of your love as well. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago not only to do this, but also to desire to do it, but now finished doing it also, so that just as there was the willingness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. For if the willingness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the relief of others, and for your hardship, but by the way of equality. At this present time your abundance will serve as assistance for their need, so that their abundance also may serve as assistance for your need, so that there may be equality, as it is written, the one who had gathered much did not have too much, and the one who had gathered little did not have too little. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. The Gospel is from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed by the seashore. And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came, and upon seeing him, fell at his feet and pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her, so that she will get well and live." And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman, who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years, and had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but instead had become worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she had been saying to herself, "If I just touch his garments, I will get well." And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that power from him had gone out, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be cured of your disease." While he was still speaking, people came from the house of the synagogue official, saying, "Your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher further?" But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And after entering, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. But putting them all outside, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions, and entered the room where the child was in bed. And taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha cum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astonished, and he gave them strict orders that no one was to know about this, and he told them to have something given her to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. On July 1st, we celebrate the life of Harriet Beecher Stowe, writer and prophetic witness, read from a great cloud of witnesses. Harriet Beecher Stowe was born on June 14, 1811, and from an early age was influenced by the humanitarian efforts of her famous parents. Her father, Lyman Beecher, was known for his zealous preaching and involvement with the temperance movement, while her mother, Roxanna Foote Beecher, ran a school for girls and publicly advocated for the intellectual development of women. Her sister, Catherine, led the women's opposition against the Jackson administration's Indian Removal Bill. Harriet Beecher Stowe was an outspoken critic of slavery, an institution that she believed to be fundamentally incompatible with the theology of her Calvinist upbringing. An author of many works, she is justly famous for her novel Uncle Tom's Cabin, a sermon-like work that chronicled the life of a slave family in the South. In particular, it recounted the tragic consequences of slavery on families, consequences that were for Stowe to be counted as one of the worst evils of slavery. Uncle Tom's Cabin was the best-selling book of the 19th century, and was influential in both America and Britain. Stowe's book inspired anti-slavery movements in the North and provoked widespread anger in the South. Her work intensified the sectional conflicts that would eventually lead to the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln, upon meeting Harriet Beecher Stowe, was alleged to have said, "So this is the little lady who started this great war." Stowe's book, together with her public anti-slavery work, was largely responsible for bringing the evils of slavery to light, not only in America, but in Britain, Europe, even Russia. Tolstoy greatly esteemed her work and her moral courage, heaping lavish praise on her. She was renowned then as now for her boldness and willingness to expose the harsh realities of slavery to the public eye. She died in Hartford, Connecticut on July 1, 1896. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the witness of Harriet Beecher Stowe, whose fiction inspired thousands with compassion for the shame and sufferings of enslaved peoples, and who enriched her writings with the cadences of the Book of Common Prayer. Help us, like her, to strive for your justice, that our eyes may see the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, when he comes to reign with you and the Holy Spirit in reconciliation and peace. One God, now and always. Amen.